Good morning, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette. I'm a missionary with Mission East Africa, Uganda. And by the gracious will of the Lord, it is my real joy to look to the scripture with you in the worship of the great and holy God this Lord's Day morning once again. My friends, we're continuing in a sermon series entitled God's Dealings with the Nations. We've been talking about God's judgment of the nations. Today we want to look at God's mercy to the nations and the glorious truth that he governs the nations. We may also, if time permits, talk about the future outlook for the nations. Our contact number is 0782-652-143, and you can learn more about our ministry, Mission Africa, at www.missionafricajk.net. Praise God. My friends, let us now hear the word of the Lord, beginning in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. This is the New King James Version, the Holy Bible. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord, look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Now therefore, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good." Amen. Praise God. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. My friends, let us pray. Father, in the highest heaven, glory and praise to you, great and powerful God. How awesome in your grace and providence and mercy and, yes, power to judge you are. How faithful you are to fulfill your purposes in the creation and to bring good to the sons of God, and to judge and rid the creation of evil. How faithful you are, Lord. Thank you for your great sovereign power, for your great sovereign grace, for your great sovereign mercy, your great sovereign truth. Lord, thank you for your great sovereign plan and purpose. Thank you for your great sovereign providence in the nations. God, we thank you for your faithfulness, and we pray that in faithfulness you will once again bless your word to our hearts and attend to the preaching and teaching of your word, that we might find precious truth and be led to worship you and draw close to you. In that, we shall be truly blessed, and we will glorify your name. Have your glory in us. Bring good to the people. Bring precious truth into their hearts. Bless them with your great salvation. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. And so, my friends, we see in these verses in Jeremiah the truth very clearly that the great God is the sovereign. He is the king of creation, the judge of creation. He is the creator and sustainer. He is the God of providence. That is, he is governing his creation constantly, moment by moment, fulfilling his plan and purposes in the nations. He is the great and holy God who is faithful to his great namesake, to judge the sins of the nations. And he is also faithful for his great namesake to show mercy to the nations who repent of their sins and turn again to the fountain of life and source of all blessings, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and who begin to do that which is right and pleasing in God's sight as they turn from sin and do righteously and in this fulfill God's plan and purposes. Praise God. As they look to the Lord and understand His will and do that which is right, God's blessing and mercy comes to the nations. And we see here, my friends, that we have the great picture of God's sovereignty, that He is the potter. Here the nations are seen to be the clay, and the potter in His great power and ability can take the clay that He controls in every possible aspect as the potter to shape it in His hands as He desires to. And we see also that the great sovereign can do with the clay, with the nations, as He desires to. He can pull down a nation. He can destroy a nation. And for the righteous reason that they turn against Him, He can bring disasters upon a nation, and He can also speak and bring His mercy and grace, His salvation to a nation, to her peoples. He can build and plant a nation so that they obey His voice and enjoy the benefits, the good that God intends to bring to them. And we see in this His great mercy and kindness to the nations. That is, that He is a God who calls the peoples to repentance, that they may escape disasters and the consequences of their sins, sure and certain judgment from the very hand of the great sovereign God. Praise God. Paul refers to this picture of the potter and the clay in Romans chapter 9, a great and wonderful, glorious chapter in which we see there the truth very clearly that the great sovereign indeed is fulfilling His purposes, because the creation, individual people, yes, nations are as clay in His hands, and in His glory and holiness He shapes them, He uses them, He fashions them, He moves them, He affects them in His great and glorious purposes, yes, in judgment, and praise God, and in grace. And so we see the glorious truth that in His mercy, God calls for a nation to repent, and He calls them to repent that they may avoid, they may escape disasters. Praise the Lord. In this, we see our first point this morning, that God shows mercy to the nations. Amen. And we see another example in the Bible very clearly that communicates this truth. That is the mercy of God to Israel, in that, in His great mercy, that is His ability to meet the needs of the people, He brought Israel out of slavery in Egypt. Praise the Lord. The call of God is to bring people out of slavery into freedom. That's one of the great calls of the gospel, to be made free in Christ, to escape the slavery of sin, death, and misery, and hell. And so God brought mercy to Israel. He met their need. He brought them out of slavery. And in history, we can see God's merciful dealings to the nations in the last century. In World War I and in World War II, God faithfully judged the nations and also showed His powerful mercy to the nations. We see that some nations received mercy from God and they were spared destruction at the hands of other nations. Remarkably, we find that the United Kingdom, Great Britain, and the United States received mercy from God and overcame those who opposed them in World War I and in World War II. The world would be a very different place today had it not been that God showed mercy to the Western nations. And the mercy of God always comes to the nations through the gospel, my friends. The gospel is the great declaration of God's mercy and salvation to the nations, to all peoples. And it is through the gospel, through Christ crucified, the substitute for sinners, that God does show mercy to the nations. He shows mercy in common grace, and he shows mercy in saving grace to the peoples. Christ crucified, the cross, is really, if you will, the door of mercy to the nations. And God is constantly bringing mercy, meeting the needs of the nations through the precious gospel of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that the scripture speaks of God's mercy to the nations in Deuteronomy 32:43. Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and render vengeance to his adversaries. He will provide atonement for his land and his people. Praise God. And just as we noted before in history, that God showed mercy to the conquering nations in World War I and World War II, he also at the same time judged the opponents of those nations that he showed mercy to. We find that truth here in Deuteronomy 32:43. The Gentiles rejoice with the people of God because God in his mercy renders vengeance to his adversaries and provides atonement for his people. And so part of the wondrous mercy of God that believers experience, a nation experiences, involves his judgment of those who would oppress them or afflict them or trouble them, yes, even war with them. And so we enjoy mercy, the nations enjoy mercy, often because God is judging their enemies. Praise God. 1 Chronicles 16:24, declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. His mercy comes to all. Praise God. So he shall sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told them, they shall see, and what they had not heard, they shall consider. Isaiah 52:15. And so the nations will recognize the hand of God in his mercy to them. Praise the Lord. Psalm 67:4. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Selah. Praise God. And in God's government, he constantly expresses mercy and expresses wrath as he judges the sins of the nations. And so there is great hope in this verse. There is a great promise of gladness and joy for the peoples, for the nations who will turn to God and walk in righteousness. He governs all nations. Praise God. We find in Psalm 72:17, his name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Amen. Praise God. May God have his glory in the nations at this moment and forever because of his mercy shown to the peoples. And may every nation call him blessed. Another point that we want to consider today, secondly, is God's government of the nations in his providence. Praise God. And we find that the Bible tells us in Psalm 22:28, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. Job 12:23, he makes nations great and destroys them. He enlarges nations and guides them. Amen. Praise God. And so God in his providence, that is his governing of the nations, His provision to the nations, this includes all aspects of His provision that happens in His government, is declared very clearly to us in these verses. And God governs the nations because He is the King of the nations. He is the Creator and the God of providence in the nations. Praise the Lord. He is the great governor of His creation. And we find that this is spoken of very well, very aptly, I believe, by Henry Law in reference to the Psalms. We find that the Psalms declare, "The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith He hath girded Himself. The world also is established, and it cannot be moved." And so in Psalm 93, the truth is proclaimed here that He is the sovereign. He is the King. Law's comments, which are helpful for us this morning, Jesus is proclaimed as King. What confidence, what peace should this assurance give? He reigns supreme. All power is given unto Him in heaven and in earth. His kingdom rules over all. Irresistible is His sway. Nothing can thwart His sovereign will. He directs all things in providence and grace in time and in eternity. He appears in His royal robes of majesty and glory. Let us meekly bend the knee and give the homage due to His supremacy. He wears the girdle of omnipotence. Let us delight in the thought. It proclaims the security of those who seek the shelter of His wings. The earth is the present scene of their abode, and no power can shake its stability. It rests on firmness and cannot be moved. Praise God. And so the Lord is King. The kingdom is the Lord's. The Lord, as King, rules over the nations. He makes nations great, and He destroys them. He enlarges nations, and He guides them. Praise God. The great sovereign is spoken of in 1 Samuel 2 in verses 6 through 8. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap, to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of His glory. Amen. Notice that in His sovereignty, every detail of life is controlled, is governed. Praise God. He rules in every possible aspect, in every life. Amen. God is faithful. God is gracious. The Lord is good. The Lord is powerful. He is the great King. He is the judge of the nations. And as we speak of His great ability to govern the nations in His providence, it's also helpful for us to hear the thoughts from the London Confession of Faith about God's divine providence. God, the good Creator of all things, in His infinite power and wisdom, does uphold, direct, dispose, and govern all creatures and things, from the greatest even to the least, by His most wise and holy providence, to the end for which they were created, according unto His infallible foreknowledge, and the free and immutable counsel of His own will, to the praise of the glory of His wisdom, power, justice, infinite goodness, and mercy. Praise the Lord. This speaks of the truth that God, the sovereign, the creator of all things, has infinite power and wisdom. He has created in this power and wisdom. And in His infinite power and wisdom, He also sustains, He upholds the creation, He directs it, and He brings it to its appointed purposes. He governs every creature, all things, by His plan, in His holy providence, and they were created for this. Praise God. He foresaw this, foreknew this in His free and unchangeable counsel, the pleasure of His will. And in this great wisdom, His power, justice, infinite goodness, and mercy is glorified. Praise God. And so, my dear friends, our lives are held in the hands of the Lord God, Jesus Christ Almighty, the King of creation. And He is fulfilling His purpose in every life as He sees fit. He is governing the creation, bringing all people to their destinies in His infinite power and ability for His great glory. Praise God. And we also see from the London Baptist Confession of Faith a very helpful thought, so that whatever befalls any of His elect is by His appointment for His glory and for their good. Amen. That glorious promise that for the believer in Christ, the truly saved person, there is this appointment to glorify God as a vessel of mercy and for all things to work together for their good. Amen. And so we see that the providence of God also reaches to all creatures. So after a most special manner, it takes care of His church and disposes of all things to the good thereof. Praise God. And so God, in His providence, governs all things, all creatures, all aspects of creation in a special way, in that He uses the creation, every person, to bring good, and He brings good as He takes care of His church. And so a promise to the believers, the church of God, good will come to them from every creature, from all aspects of creation, and God will care for His church. He will take care of His church. Praise the Lord. And so, my friends, wonderfully, we are blessed to see the goodness of God and the blessing of God in His governing of the nations. Let me just mention at this point that it is often not easy for us, even for believers, to look at God's dealings in the nations, in His great providence, and to accurately read or understand His dealings with the nations. And that's because God, the great infinite God, is working in His ways in providence. We believe that. The scripture declares it, as we have been seeing. We trust Him that He, in His infinite wisdom, is fulfilling His purposes. But we do not have the ability to really fully understand God's dealings with the nations oftentimes. There are times, though, when God makes His will for a nation clear. And at times we see especially the judgment of God upon a particular nation for their sins. God communicates the sin of a nation, and He communicates especially to believers His judgment of that sinful nation. There are times, too, in God's providence when we can recognize the blessing of God upon a nation for her obedience to the gospel and gospel principles. But we must be careful at this point, because it is often difficult for us to accurately read the second causes or the immediate revealed actions of God that we see. We really lack the ability to understand His providence very fully much of the time. Let me share with you the thoughts of John Newton about this. If we have a degree of this impression, we shall not be at leisure to perplex ourselves concerning men or measures, the second causes or immediate instruments of our calamities. The evil of sin contrasted with the holiness and glory of God will engross our thoughts, and we shall ascribe all the troubles we either feel or fear to our own sins and the sins of those among whom we dwell. And Newton's helpful thoughts here really point us back to this truth that he says simply, it's not clear to us many times what God is doing in His providence. But we do know that the afflictions and troubles and judgments of God come upon us or come upon a nation because of the evil of our sins. And so rather than perplex ourselves trying to understand the reasons why certain things happen, even apparent blessings or apparent judgments that come upon a peoples, we should rather focus and fill our minds with the truth of the holiness and the glory of God and let that engross our thoughts. And then when we do recognize troubles or afflictions, even at a national level, that we must then understand that that comes about from man's sinfulness. God is faithful to judge sin, and so we must simply be content to understand that there are judgments and that we must repent personally of our sins and yes, pray that our nation and help our nation to be repentant, that we might escape the judgments of God, remembering that we are sinful beings and that we often sin in ways that we don't fully understand, that God in His infinite wisdom does truly and fully understand. And let me just add to Newton's thoughts that if we become aware of a particular judgment for a very specific sin, and we do find at times in the Bible that God addresses the very specific sins of a nation and declares His very specific judgments upon them for sin. For instance, we can recognize that the sin of abortion on a national level is a great sin against God, that He is sure to bring His judgments against a nation that kills its children, the babies in the mother's womb, oftentimes. And so if afflictions would come upon, judgments come upon, troubles, disasters come upon a nation that is habitually committing this great and grievous sin, then we can generally recognize that the sin is being dealt with, though we cannot see and understand the particulars in God's providence. The degree of sin, for instance, because God is also showering that nation with mercy. We don't have the capability to look into the providence ever more fully in this way, and so we simply trust God that He is faithful to judge the sins of a nation and praise God also for His faithfulness to show mercy to a nation. Amen. We see, my friends, that as God governs in His providence, showing His judgments and His mercies, that He is fulfilling His great sovereign purposes. And again, that glorious truth is always of comfort to a believer. Praise God. We want to end our time this morning with a series of verses from 2 Chronicles 36, actually two verses, 22 and 23. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing, saying, "Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is among you of all his people? May the Lord his God be with him and let him go up." Now, we have here an instance in which Cyrus, an unbelieving man who has become the king of Persia, understands that it is God's will. Again, he's not a believer, but he has become aware of this, that he is to build a temple in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. And he calls the people to this work. He calls the Jews to build the temple again in Judah. The first temple had been destroyed in the work of warring nations who took the Jews into captivity. And so Cyrus, in fact, works to bring a proclamation to his kingdom. It's a written proclamation that the God of all peoples, the God of the earth, the Lord God of heaven, has commanded him to build this temple in Jerusalem. Now, simply, that's an amazing example of God's extraordinary providence. Cyrus does not believe in God in a saving way, but he does understand that he must build this temple, and he has seen that this instruction has come from God, and indeed this is exactly what happens. And so in his providence, God moves this ungodly ruler, Cyrus, to bring benefit to Israel, to the people of Judah. Again, praise God. God's ways are past our finding out. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. And so we must trust the Lord and trust him to direct our steps. Pray and cry out to God that he will direct our steps in our salvation. Praise the Lord. Well, my friends, our time is gone this morning. Let us now pray. Father, you are the God of mercy, the God of infinite mercy. You meet the needs of all, and we praise you for that glorious truth today. Lord, you are the God who governs the nations in your providence, all because of your awesome sovereignty. And we praise you for who you are, the King of creation, the God of providence, the God who is the great governor of his creation. And God, we praise you for your wisdom. And we pray, Lord, that our faith will be strengthened and that you will give us grace, that we may know more fully in our hearts that you are the God of providence. And yes, we will cry out for mercy for our nation, for Uganda, for my nation of America, for the nations of the world. And God, we know and trust, we see so clearly in Scripture that you are the holy God who judges sin. Glory to you for your great judgments in the nations, Lord. And so we glorify you and we trust you and we enjoy your glory, Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. We worship you. And so bless your people with sufficient grace this good day, this Lord's day, to worship you through the day. Have your glory in your church, Lord, and bless your people in your great and awesome love. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.